Hello, hello, hello. Ooh,
okay.
It is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Technical difficulty number 4,000 to start the podcast.
Oh my gosh. Every single episode, I think last time was the only one that we didn't have any technical difficulties at all.
I know. This one was minor, hopefully. So we'll keep pushing through it. But I'm kind of excited for this week because it's kind of like halfway. We each did our own research and then halfway relaxed like last week. So
yes, definitely. And it's also the most requested one, I think. The most requested topic, so I'm really excited to actually talk about it.
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of people have posed this question to me, not just, like, this time around with the podcast, but last time, too, just because of the name. I think 20-something, like, begs the question of, like, you know, who are you and 20-something, so I'm excited to talk about it.
What do you want to do with your life? Yes, me too.
But first,
yes, very important matters to take care of.
Yes.
Bagel flavors.
Yes, I can read the bagel flavors if you want. I have them pulled up on my computer. I have the posts pulled up on my computer. But Tati replied, if you guys don't remember, we asked last time what the weirdest bagel flavor you've ever come across was. And Tati commented, and she said, Kalamata olive bagels are the weirdest ones she's ever seen. And I was like,
okay.
I would not like that. Do you think you would like that?
I have to admit. I think that actually might be good because I'm obsessed with Kalamata olives. Is that how you say it? Kalamata?
I think so. Kalamata.
Kalamata. Okay. Yes. I'm obsessed with them. I love them.
I really love them too. Like, especially like in Greek salads. I'll even eat, like, I'm a huge olive person. I'll just eat olives.
Me too.
Love olives. But on a bit, I don't know, man.
I think about the flavor and then I think about it mixed with cream cheese. And I think because the bitterness of the olive mixed with, like, the creamy cream cheese will it'll balance itself out. And it actually might taste good. It makes me think of, like, chive bagels.
Yeah, I see chive. I understand what you're saying. But I just feel like Kalamata is, like, such a bitey. It's so tangy that it might.
I guess it just kind of depends how many olives they put into the dough. Because if it's like a lot and like the thing is purple, it may not taste good.
Okay, here's my question though. Are you imagining a bagel with chunks of Kalamata olive in it? Or are you imagining just the flavor? Because I'm imagining a bagel with chunks. I think I could get on board with just the flavor.
Oh, no. I'm thinking like the flavor.
Okay.
Because I think about, I mean, how the hell do you do an egg-flavored bagel? Somehow you can do a Kalamata olive-flavored bagel. I'm not sure how. Maybe.
You just pour the juice in there, surely.
Yeah.
In the dough,
or,
right?
Like, maybe they puree it so thin that it doesn't matter.
I'm having to, like, back away because I'm laughing so hard.
Somehow they can do it. And also with the smoked salmon. I mean, they don't put chunks of salmon in it, you know?
That's very true.
Somehow they get it down to a flavor. So I'm thinking if they just did a flavor of the olives, it'll taste good. That's my final thoughts on that.
I could agree. I can get on board with a flavor. Okay. Let me see if there were any other bagel comments. I feel like there were, but I'm not sure. I know that Carly, at least, mentioned us this morning. She was eating a bagel for breakfast, and I thought that was funny. She said she was thinking of us while she was eating her bagel.
Oh, I love it.
But I think that was the only other flavor.
The CEO of Bagels has not reached out to us yet.
Yeah, we are trying. Val and I decided we're going to try to be sponsored by a bagel company. So we'll see. We'll let you guys know so that you can harass whichever one we decide.
Can't wait.
No, but in all seriousness, yeah, bagels are just, I feel like bagels are quintessential 20-something, you know?
Yes, yes. I mean, they're so versatile. Mm-hmm.
I went through a weird, like, bagel phase in my 20s. Did you, well, I mean, I'm still kind of in a weird bagel phase, but.
I'm in my bagel phase now. I love a good bagel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
You can't disagree with me.
And I feel like when you're, like, even early 20-something, because I'm, even when I went out, like, when I went to college, I was buying bagels so much because they were, like, such versatile items. They were good for breakfast. They were, like, more filling than, like, just normal bread or normal toast. So, like,
yeah.
When you're in college, you're trying to think, like, best bang for your buck, what's going to fill me up the longest? Bagels over toast, for me, is bagels. Yeah. So, I ended up getting a Costco membership, like, for the gas prices and bulk bagels, because that's how much I was eating bagels.
How many bagels do they give you?
Like, 12 for, like, $4. $4 or $5.
Oh. So I've been missing out, is what you're saying.
It's worth it. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying Costco is $50 a year. The bagels are delicious. They're actually Einstein bagels.
Oh, well, that changes everything. Let me just go buy a Costco membership. All right, now we're going to get Costco to sponsor us.
I know. No, Costco gas is worth it, though. It's like a quarter cheaper a gallon every time, and that to me is worth it.
Wow.
But, yeah, I basically got my Costco membership for the bagels, and I don't regret it. We still have a Costco membership in this household, and I have zero regrets about that.
What a way. What a way to live.
I know. But I feel like that's just your 20s, you know? It's just constant states of weird phases and,
weird
like, weird
things.
Figuring yourself out stuff, you know?
Yes. Weird ways to go about things. Weird ways to save money. And just, it's just a weird time in your life. I definitely have experienced a weird 20s decade.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only 6 years in, but long term, it's a decade.
Right. It'll be a decade when all is said and done.
Yes, yes. But yeah, it's just a weird time, and you have to figure yourself out, figure out what you want to do, and when you start out your 20s, or when you're in high school, you're like, oh yeah, high school is so great. I get to focus on my relationships and sports and school and my family, and that's it. This is my world. And then you get to your 20s, and you're like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. And I think, too, like, you're not just like, what do I focus on, but you don't even know, like, what you really like, because it's a whole different, I felt like, at least, it was a whole different world than when I lived with my parents, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. God, or just when I was in high school, like, in general.
Yeah. It is severely different. And it's, like, not something people tell you about before you turn 20. They're just, like, excited that you're 20, and so you expect everything to be perfect, and you expect everything to be amazing, and it's just not. So I feel like you just kind of get into a weird mindset of life because you don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah. And I feel like everybody is, no matter what you go through in your 20s, like, I feel like you go through that of just, like, trying to figure out, like, who am I? How do I even figure out who I am and what I like and what, you know, whatever. And so for me, I feel like I have gone through, like, a lot of life phases already, and I'm still on that, like, earlier side of 20, but I still have all of those, like, identity crises and stuff that 20 somethings would have, you know?
Yeah. When did you think that you had your, when did you realize in your 20s that you were going through your weird 20 phase?
probably like right before. Well, I don't know. I feel like every time I come out of a phase, I'm like, oh my God, that was a weird phase.
You know? On to the next. Thank you, next.
But I feel like right before, I don't know, this like is going to get like sad for a second, but it won't stay sad, I promise. I feel like after I had my miscarriage, I was forced to confront like things that I'd never thought about before, like regarding life and like what it meant to like live your life and like the privilege of getting just being born, just being able to be one of the people who like was a viable fetus and was born. Like that's, yeah. I don't know. I just had a different like appreciation for that, I guess, after that. And because there's so many things that go into that. Like, there's so many, like, your, in from my perspective, like, your parents, specifically your mother, has to want to, like, give you life and give birth to you. Like, first of all, that has to fit into the equation. Mm-hmm. And second of all, like, you had to have been, like, healthy and whatever. So I was just confronted with a lot of that stuff I'd never thought about before. And because of that, I just sort of felt like I grew up a little bit quicker. Like, I thought about things a little bit differently, and it made me just sort of figure out who I was a little bit faster than I think I would have. So I think I realized, like, the point up until then was my weird 20 phase, I guess, if that makes sense, which would be, like, 20, maybe, like, 22.
Mm-hmm. Do you still feel like you're in the, like, weird 20 identity crisis, or do you feel like you've moved on from that?
I feel like I'm getting a lot closer to, like, who I want to be and who I feel like I am, especially becoming a mom. Like, I feel like I was always supposed to be a mom. Specifically, I was always supposed to be Laurel's mom, and so that has made me a lot more, even though it's hard because you can't always find time to, like, be yourself because it's all baby time. It's like still at the end of the day a purpose, I guess, and that makes me more solidified in like my beliefs and like what I want to do and what I feel like my like passions are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I guess having that other purpose is a driving force to want to figure that out.
I feel like I've noticed late, like since Laurel was born, I feel like you have been more proud of what you believe in and things that you're passionate about. Like, I feel like before you were kind of reluctant to, like, share those types of things. Mm-hmm. But I think since she was born, you have been so proud of, like, what you believe in and...
Sorry, everybody. Don't get emotional. I'm, like, tearing up. I'm on my period right now, so this is,
oh,
like,
no, this is not the topic for this.
No, okay, I'm fine. I'm really fine.
If you cry, I'm going to cry. So we're just going to have to sniffle.
I'm not
going to
cry.
We're going to have to sniffle into the microphones. Okay. Anyways, as I was saying. But yeah, I feel like that confidence has definitely shown. So from the outside perspective, it does not seem like you're still in like a weird identity crisis, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, I think most of my identity crisis had to do with, like, I don't believe or think a lot of the things my parents believe or think. And so when I became a parent, it was kind of like, how do I want to frame that for my kid? Like, what if she grows up and thinks differently than me? And, like, how do I solidify to her that, like, I will still accept her and love her as my child and, like, that I'll want to still be an active part of her life and things like that. And so I definitely do feel like, I feel like a lot of my identity crisis just had to do with the fact that I didn't know how to express my identity. Like, I knew who I was at my core, but I didn't know how to like show everybody else that, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what about you? Like, because I know for you from the outside looking in, like, all of the time that you've been able to spend working on yourself and, like, thinking about yourself specifically in the last year because of quarantine, like, just the time you've spent with yourself in general, I think that, like, you have had a lot of growth in just showing other people, too, that, like, it's okay for them to be who they are. Not only right. that, like, you want to be okay being who you are, but that you want to live in a world where everybody else is who they are, too, if that makes sense. You
right.
know?
I think one thing that I have improved on in the past year is, like, accepting and, like, speaking out on the fact that, like, you are going through crappy things. And that's something that I think I have hid for a long time is, like, going through shitty things. But, like, your 20s is all about going through shitty things.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over and over again. And because of those shitty things, you eventually find out who you are and you can form beliefs and form opinions and just who you are in general. So, I think especially within quarantine, I've gotten a lot better at showing that, like, my life's not perfect. Like, I feel like before, especially through, I'm really thinking about, like, through social media, I would only show, like, the good things mm-hmm. about life. And I feel like that's something that everyone in their 20s deals with because right. everyone wants to look cute on social media. Everyone wants to look perfect and get those sponsorships and get those mm-hmm. DMs and likes and comments and all that stuff. So we all feel the need to have a perfect life and have a good life. And when you're in your 20s, it's, like, not good and nobody talks about it.
Yeah. Well, and even, like, I feel like for, like, that's universal for people in their 20s no matter what. Like, I'm going to talk about this girl a lot because I love her and I, like, listen to her podcast and watch everything she does. But Becca Martinez is still in her 20s. She's the girl that was on The Bachelor, but I think she was on before you started watching it. Because I think we've talked about her before.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is still in her 20s, too, and she posts all the time that, like she'll post a picture of her crying and be like on her stories and be like, mm-hmm. what you see is my highlight reel. I actually sat on my bathroom floor for like 20 minutes today and cried while my yeah. kid played in her own poop in her cloth diapers or whatever.
God.
And, like,
oh God.
It's just stuff that's like really like real life stuff, but she's an actual, like she's, you know, a Bachelor Nation person with mm-hmm. like hundreds of thousands of followers and a podcast, like a big podcast. And I don't know. It's just, to me, even when people are posting things like that, or even when people are in, like, elevated positions in society, like they're celebrities or whatever, they're still posting things like that about how, like, all we're seeing is their highlight reel. And, like, Instagram specifically, but all social media is just people's highlight reels. And we can't yeah. expect to, like, measure up to that. Even, like, myself, I'll watch my stories from the day before and be like, oh, I did so much more yesterday than I did today. But then I'll be like, this is how I felt yesterday. Yesterday, yeah. I felt like I did more the day before yeah. than I did, you know?
Yeah. I feel like as far as, like, the social media thing goes, I feel like it might be easier for, like, older 20-somethings to recognize that everything is a highlight reel because we were mm-hmm. here before social media was a thing. We were here mm-hmm. before Instagram, Facebook. Like, it was, like, Xanga when I was in middle school.
Oh, my gosh. I know, right?
And so, I feel like the younger people in their 20s, like, those who are 24 or younger, have a harder time realizing that everyone else's lives are not perfect. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that in some people I know is that they're, like, always comparing themselves to others and always expecting their life to go perfectly and flawlessly, especially in their 20s. And that's just not how it is. Like, you go through crisis stuff
yeah.
in your 20s, especially the first 4 years. So mm-hmm. those are the people that need to remember, like, everyone else's life on social media is a highlight reel. And that's, I think, what contributes to this whole identity crisis.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, when I first graduated, I was looking at people who were getting nursing degrees and starting their work in hospitals. And then there's people who are, like, doing modeling. And then there's, you know, all of these – doing mm-hmm. all of these different things that I had wanted to do in my past. And I didn't do that. I was a psych major and barely graduated. I mean, I wasn't yeah. failing, but, like, I just graduated with honors and then – moved on with life and worked in social services, and I was just, like, your average gal. But because, like, looking at everyone else's stuff, I was like, I should have my shit together a little more. But it just wasn't. Anyways, that's my tangent.
Well, yeah, and I think, too, like, I... Because this is one thing that I like about our podcast. Somebody actually asked me this morning. They DM'd the podcast page about it, and I saw it, and so I replied. And they were asking about this specific topic because I put the poll up of, like, are you 24 or younger or 25 or older? And so they were just asking in response to that, saying, like, wanting to know if one of us was in one of those categories and the other one was in the other. And I was like, yeah, I'm 24 and Val's 26, so we're, you know,
2 years apart,
perfectly on those lines pretty much. And they were like, oh, okay, cool, like, I'm excited to hear two different, like, you know, you're both in different stages of that. Yeah, and I think it's kind of really, I don't know, it's really good for me to hear, because I consciously have to remind myself, like, this is people's highlight reels. Like, I take time off of social media on Sundays so that I can, like, look at my own life like the highlight reel on Sundays and not have anything else to compare it to, not have, like, anybody else's life in my mind at all except my own. Yeah. And it's a really good reset every week, especially at the beginning of the week. But, like, I'm glad to hear that, like, at least you've noticed that the older you've gotten, that's, like, less of a concern, maybe.
Issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it is something that, like, I do have to consciously remind myself of that. And then if I don't, I get really burnt out on social media really quick. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a couple weeks where I forget to remind myself that and I'm just, like, clicking through people's stories, like, you know, sizing myself up to them, I, like, will burn out so fast. I won't want to post anything. I won't want to – I'll be so discouraged, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Something I just thought of while you were talking was, like, maybe, like, reminding yourself that, like – when people post, it's most likely in celebration of something. So, like, think about your life. Like, you want to post when you've had a good day. You want to post when you're announcing a pregnancy or an engagement or a wedding or something good that happened in your day. That's when you feel the need and the motivation to post. So, if that's true for you and for me, then that's probably true for everybody else. So it's just honestly, like, every post and everything on social is a celebration of something. So that means that they have a whole nother life that they're not even talking about. So.
Yeah. One of my friends, this is a little bit off topic, but not really. One of my friends in her stories yesterday was talking. Also, I'm not sure if you guys can hear that, but in the background, my turtle is swimming very aggressively. So if you hear any water splashes, it's a turtle. Not sure if you can hear that at all.
I can't hear it.
But if you can,
so
that's what it is. If not, I'll just cut that part out. But one of my friends, Hannah, yesterday on her stories was talking about how because she put a poll up, and she has a larger platform. So, you know, there were quite a lot of people who had seen the story, but only a percentage of them clicked the poll. And it was just a yes or no question. It, like, wasn't a hard thing to answer. And so she just posted and asked, like, hey, literally just asking, if you're following someone on social media and don't bother to click their polls, literally, why are you following them? Like, why?
Yeah.
It's so
easy. Why?
Yeah. And she was like, I'm not trying to be snarky, but, like, legitimately think about these things. Legitimately put effort into considering, why am I following this person if I'm not bothering to interact with their stuff? And, like, it really put it into perspective for me, because she was like, this isn't verbatim what she said, but this is, like, what I took from it, was, like, it's kind of disrespectful not only to yourself and your time, but to the other person and their time, for you to just, like, skip through their stuff. Because I know for you, like, you create content on social media, I create content on social media, and that takes a lot of time and effort to think about. And so, like, some of my close personal friends will watch my stories and not click on a yes or no poll. And I'll be like, guys, this took me, like, 20 minutes to put together. Can you just please click the fucking yes or no button, please?
Yes. Like,
it's different so when frustrating.
It's different when you have to type something in. But the polls, I love. I love clicking those. I love answering them. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yes. Oh, no.
Yeah, me too. And literally when it's yes or no, but it, I don't know. It just made me think about it because I of course, I'm guilty of that too. Like, I will watch somebody's stories and not click it sometimes,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like I try to most of the time. If it's a question that I can, like, legitimately answer and I have, like, experience with, you know. But I don't know. I just think, like, it really put it into perspective of me of, like, why take the time to, like, think about those things, especially when it comes to social media, because you are, like, sizing yourself up. So if you're not interacting with that person, are you literally just watching them to, like, be a spectator? Are you watching them to, like, only compare yourself to them? Like, why are you there if you're not interacting, you know?
And what are you getting out of it if you're doing that?
Right.
Are you getting motivation? Because if so, then that's good. But, mm-hmm. like, if it's making you feel like crap about yourself, unfollow that person.
Right. And also, if you're watching their stories because you think it's helping their algorithm, it's only helping their algorithm if you're participating in the things that they put mm-hmm. in their stories. So, also, if there's you're a person who's sharing those little, like, small business, like their posts, you know, friends, that, save their stuff.
Oh my gosh, that has been the most frustrating thing for me is seeing people be like, shop small businesses, share your friends' posts. And then, like, they watch our stuff and, like, we may not, like, own, like, a business, but, like, we're creating content on social media. We're trying to do something
right.
with our
social
content media.
Content creation is a job.
Yeah, and so interact with my stuff then if you're so small business, girlfriend.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a weird little tangent, but Hannah definitely made me think about that stuff of, like, if I'm not interacting with this person, why am I here? Why am I in their corner of the internet? Because most of the time it's probably to size myself up to that person and, like, make myself subconsciously feel like crap next to them. So I need to, like, get that in check, and I need to only be following people that I, like, am interacting with or, like, derive joy from,
here,
you know?
Here is some 20-something tea advice, whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
Okay, if that goes for social media, what about your friends?
I know, but
because
that's so hard.
In your 20s, especially your mm-hmm. young 20s, you want to have the best friends that, like, you know, like, drink wine, eat pizza, go out, blah, blah, blah,
right,
like, Sex
right.
in the City vibes.
You want, like, the friends group of friends, or, yeah, like, the Sex in the City
yes.
group of friends. Yeah.
But when those friends become toxic, or those friends start stressing you out more than helping you, mm-hmm. what are you getting out of it? Why are you keeping those friends? And that goes for relationships, too. What's the point? What's the point? And I get it, because your 20s are confusing, and that goes hand in hand with your confusing, weird vibe thing.
Like
you
your identity crisis.
Yes, like whatever whatever you want to call it, midlife crisis. And you forget to cut out the toxicity, cut out the toxic people. And I feel like that goes with the weird identity crisis, because you don't respect yourself enough to do that for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's something that I've only, like, recently recognized is, like, that's a part of the self-care is cutting people out when it's necessary, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I can't tell you how transformative that's been for me. And honestly, like, I still am not great at it, but I have one friend who is probably listening to this. But she and I had – we were just kind of at different life stages and just weren't understanding each other. And I think just like you said, now we're, like, causing each other a little bit more stress than we were, like, happiness at the time. And so we kind of, like, went our separate ways for a little bit. And then we both were recently pregnant over the same period of time and had babies within, like, a couple weeks of each other. And now are, like – on a really good track and are pretty good friends again. And
good.
I think that it, like, honestly was something that I was talking to Jason about it on, like, our road trip back from Georgia, because she was one of the people that we saw when we were mm-hmm. in Georgia. And I was like, I'm just really proud of my relationship with this person who I won't say their name because I don't have their permission. But I was like, I'm really proud of my relationship with her because I really think it shows, like, my maturity as, like, a friend. Like, we both recognized that we weren't healthy for each other in the moment, and so we stepped back, and then both, like, when we came back together to be friends, we weren't like, let's be BFFs together immediately. We both, like, established what our boundaries were in a relationship, which, like, I honestly haven't done with many friends, like, just flat out had a whole conversation about, like, these are my boundaries now, and this is what I need from my friends. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like definitely having the self-respect to do that for yourself is huge and a big part of that, like, finding yourself. Because you are, like, who you surround yourself with, and not just in the cheesy, like, you know, you're going to act like your friends and do what your friends do, but also, like, you are how the people around you handle situations in their life. You are how they, you know, act and react on a daily basis. Like, I don't know. It's just, that's definitely a part of it that I didn't even consider until, like, recently, of just choosing who's in your life at the moment is a huge part of that finding yourself journey.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, definitely. And I know me and you talked about this the other day, the TikTok that Taylor Swift, it was a Taylor Swift TikTok, not by Taylor Swift, but it was like a clip of an interview with her. And she was basically saying that, like, in your 20s, you have to have time to yourself. And if you are attending to toxic people, toxic relationships, and just toxic anything, really, you don't have the energy to focus on yourself. You don't have the energy to get yourself together and find out who you are. And so you have to find friendships and relationships that allow you to have that individual time in your 20s. Because if you don't, then when you get to your 30s, who the hell are you? Like, who the hell are you? You're everyone else around you because you didn't give yourself time. And you're like, you didn't give yourself a whole decade to figure yourself out. So, that's something I've always, like, well, not always, recently, I mean, has made a priority is, like, have relationships, have friendships, and have good times with everyone around you, but leave time for yourself. So,
yeah. And you also just don't want to get to your 30s or any point in your life, especially not, like, later on in your life, like, much later, and have these thoughts of, like, could I have, you know, done this in a way that would have been more satisfying for me, or could I have, if I'd spent more time getting to know myself, could I have, you know, done this or felt this way?
Like, the what ifs.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, well, what if this had happened?
Yeah, and that's the part of myself that, like, I personally can't live with. Like, I think I messaged you back talking about TikTok. I think I messaged you back on TikTok today because you sent me a TikTok about another Taylor Swift thing.
Oh, naturally.
Right, because, I mean, same. That's what I got TikTok for. But, like, about My Tears Ricochet.
Oh, and oh my gosh,
I messaged you back and I was like, this song is still so hard for me to listen to all the way through because it, like, cuts me so freaking deep. And it's because it makes me think of that, of, like, those relationships in your life where, like, I don't know, just, oh my gosh, those lyrics, you guys. If you have not heard that song, you just need to go listen to it. But it's just basically, like, one of the main lyrics is, like, if I'm dead to you, then why are you at the wake? And, oof. Oh, it gets me every time, man.
Oh, my
gets
God. Me. It's but literally, though, it's like those people around you that cut off ties with you, broke your heart, ruined your life, whatever they did, they're always watching at the end. Like, they're always still watching. They're always still curious. And, like, yeah, of course, I have people that I still creep on, too. Like, I'm not saying that, like, everyone... I'm like,
all
why
do.
Are
That's
you so obsessed with me? No, I'm saying... No, like, I do the same shit. But, like, why? Why do we do that? And why do people do that to us? It's so...
Right.
Yeah.
Humans are crazy, man. Well, I don't know. I feel like... okay, anyways... I had a couple questions for you. I know you had a couple questions for me, too.
Well, so, I already asked mine. I got mine through.
Oh, you slipped yours in there. Look at you.
Yes.
So mine were basically about – we kind of – we chatted about this a little bit, but not, like, a lot, about the Enneagram. I actually don't know if we talked about it once we started recording or not.
Oh, my gosh, we didn't. We didn't. We haven't yet.
But that is, like, the one thing all those other personality tests, I don't know how much I buy into. I haven't ever really related to any of them. But the Enneagram, man, I relate to that shit. Yes. So accurate. So I wanted to ask you what your Enneagram number was, because I know it, but just so that our listeners know, I'm a 3-wing 2, but what are you?
I'm a 7. I forgot my wing, but I'm pretty sure it's a 3.
Oh, okay, cool.
I can't remember exactly, though, so don't hold me to that. Yeah. I have to take it again. But I'm pretty sure, well, I know it's a 7. That is, like, through and through, I'm a 7. It's just...
You might just be a solid 7. Like, some people don't... You aren't really... Because everybody... The Enneagram, for those of you that don't know, like, everybody encompasses a little bit of each number, but you are overwhelmingly either 1 or 2... most of the time of the numbers. And I don't know, I just feel like for me the Enneagram's the only thing that, like, personality test wise I have really, really heavily related to, but also, like, it's helped me understand my friends and the people around me better if they know their Enneagram type. But yeah, I don't know, I feel like that's just a helpful tool, you know.
It is your wing the second best one? It's like the
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm a 2, so 7 wing 2.
Gotcha.
I thought, I don't know what I thought the wing was, but yeah, the other one was, I don't know, the other one was a 2. But the 7, I just, every time I see the descriptions for 7, I'm like, yep. That's me.
Yeah. Like, for me, a 3, like, 3 is, at least the way that I am a 3, is just, I, like, work myself into the ground. Like, when I was a kid, I would often reorganize my closet and I wouldn't go to sleep until it was finished. Like, I couldn't go, I would not be able to go to sleep until it was done. And so that's just, like, one example, but also, like, shopping for school supplies, everything had to, like, match and be, like, organized. I had a plan going into school shopping, what it was going to be, like, just a very regimented human being.
Mm-hmm.
Really up until in my 20s, I've been a little more loosey-goosey with things and have enjoyed procrastinating a lot. I used to never procrastinate, and now I really enjoy it.
Character development. We love to see it.
Right. I know. But, no, I just think that, like, I don't know. The Enneagram has really, really helped me recognize the traits in myself that, like, not so much that I don't like, but the traits about myself that might seem combative to other people or might be off-putting to other people. And, like, to understand that I don't need to change those things about myself, but that I also need to respect who other people are too. You know?
That's something I really love about the Enneagram, is it tells you equally how good you are versus, you know, your cons. But they're cons to, like, not change, but to recognize, like you said, and for the sake of your friends and your family and your relationships. And I think that's something that goes heavily into your 20s, is, like, recognizing what your actions do to other people. And because you're just now finding out these traits, because you haven't been able to live in your own world, control your world around you until now. And so when you find out these traits, like, being aware of those things is so helpful for your relationships.
Yeah. Well, my other question for you is, on a scale of 0 to Val, how Val do you feel now, being, because you're freshly 26, so you're freshly on the other side of 25.
Yes.
So how do you feel now being, you know, on the other side of that, flip side of the coin?
Okay. It's subject to change. And I say that because of the different phases you go through in your 20s and in life in general. Right now, I feel like in this moment, this is going to sound so sad, probably like a 5, which I feel like
sad.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I guess this is kind of...
You have your whole life to get to the vowel point. Five is pretty good.
But, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a phase right now where I'm, like, determining what I want. And I'm, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, with my career, with, like, social media, content creating, like, I'm, like, what do I want to do? What do I want to focus on? How do mm-hmm. I want to help people? Because, like, I have a passion for helping people. Primarily through social, especially with COVID. Mm-hmm. And I want to help people with, like, the experiences I go through and the shit I go through. So, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's a five, yeah. sometimes it's less. But, like, today I feel like a five. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think your 20s phase will go until your 30s. I mean, honestly. Like,
right.
I feel like even in your 30s, it's like you don't. I feel like nobody, like we said before, nobody has it figured out.
Yeah. It's going to, I was just going to say, it's going to be that dynamic that we talked about in, like, the first or second episode yeah. where, like, you think you've got it all figured out and then you get there and you're like, nope, still don't have it figured
yeah.
out.
Yeah. And I think it's because of the life phases. Like, everything changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every couple of years, everything will drastically change and you'll look back and be like, oh my God, when did I get out of that phase? Like, it just happened. Right. And so it just is something, like, I don't know. I feel like we just need to learn how to not expect us to, like, get to the next phase, get to the next step, and just enjoy what's happening in front of us.
Yeah, I agree. Oh my gosh. Well, this was a pretty good episode,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for this one.
I know.
I feel like we covered all the topics we wanted to. And we also, like, you know, got off topic naturally. You have to once or twice every episode.
A happy little tangent here or there. Yeah.
That's, like, an essential part of podcasting.
Yeah. I think that's, like, that's what the people are here for, is the tangents, you know?
yes.
Well, I mean, we wanted to know if you all know what your Enneagram numbers, what they are, please post them, comment them so that we can see. And if you don't know what your Enneagram number is, please find out and then let us know, because we really do think it's a good tool. And yes. even if you only take it just to post the comment on our page, yeah. please do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And you don't have to ever pay attention to it again, but you should, because, mm-hmm. because as a psych major, let me tell you, the personality tests for the other ones just aren't, they aren't it. The Enneagram is the only yeah. one we didn't talk about, and it's the one that I feel like everyone should know.
Yeah, and I think it is, honestly, I don't even care so much about knowing it for myself as I do for other people in my life. Like, yeah. I honestly want to start keeping a little book in my desk of people's Enneagram numbers, which might seem creepy to other people,
idea.
But, like, I want to, like, I want to, like, yeah, especially if that person, like, ever needs to, like, talk to me about something super serious, like, I want to know, like, how can I best support them? Like, what do they need from me right now? What's the best way for me to talk to them? Like, most of the time, you know, conversations are just conversations, but especially, like, with intimate friendships and relationships, like, you want to be able to get to that next level with somebody yeah. of, like, being there for them and giving them support. And I feel like the Enneagram really helps with that.
Everyone should, it's almost like your birthday. Like, everyone should have to disclose that information.
Right? I know.
What's your birthday and what's
on
your Enneagram?
Social media.
Yeah. And your bio, Enneagram 7.
Right. It's like in kindergarten when they group you in different groups, you're like grouped by your Enneagram
yes,
number.
Yes. We have to do that.
Oh my gosh, someday Laura will have an Enneagram number. I didn't even think about that.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys let us know what your Enneagram numbers are. You can do that over on our podcast Instagram page. It is at @thisis20pod. You spell that, obviously, at @thisistwentypod. And if you want to talk to me directly, you can find me at Allison R. Carpenter, at AllisonRCarpenter.
And my Instagram is at val.burns. That is VAL.BYRNES.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us again for episode 5. This is like our first, other than one, this is like 5 is the next, you know, not big number, but like round number.
The next stepping stone is what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. Next
milestone. Milestone. That's
the yes, word. Milestone. There yes. it is. There it is. You would think with having a child, I would know the word milestone off the top of my mm-hmm. head, but yeah. I just.
Well,
I
you know, it's pretty late in the day. It's a Wednesday. We're just ready for the weekend.
Same. Well, thank you guys. We can't wait to talk to you next week.
See you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.